Bibles, turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 3. We read from this here a few weeks ago, and I'm kind of picking up a little bit where we left off. Acts chapter 3, and we're going to begin reading at verse 16. Acts 3:16. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Now, we spent some time on this. I'm not going to spend a lot of time. I did think it was kind of interesting. I didn't really make the connection the last time we talked about this verse. This is another 3:16. I don't know if you've ever done the 3:16s through the Bible, but it's kind of cool that we know that God so loved the world he sent his only begotten Son, and we know his name. His name is Jesus, and his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong. Now, I took this as one of my verses. I've been praying it over me, pointing to myself. This man, his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong. I want to be a strong in the Lord, don't you? We're told by the Apostle Paul to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And so there's no other way to do it but through the name of Jesus Christ. Now, let's just read a few more verses here. Actually, I tell you what, let's do. Let's just jump over. I don't want to read the whole book, so let's jump over to chapter 4, and let's just pick up at verse 7. Basically, what happened is the Jews, you know, as they did with Jesus, you know, gave Peter and John a hard time, arrested them. And then in verse 7 of chapter 4, we get to the place where it says, and when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Now, he kind of already answered that question in the last chapter, didn't he? Then Peter, notice the word, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby men must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were uneducated, untrained men, they marveled. And they realized, I got Holy Ghost goosebumps. They realized, it came to them, they came to the realization, it occurred to them, they realized they have been with Jesus. I tell you what, I want people to know that I've been on my knees spending time with Jesus. You can tell when people have been with Jesus. You don't need to say, well, have you been praying this week? You know, they know. They sense it. You have a boldness. You have a confidence. You have a relationship. And they realized they had been with Jesus, and seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For indeed, that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But so that it spread no further among the people, let us severely threaten them that from now on they speak no more. They speak to no man in this name. All right, we're gonna just stop there for a minute, and we will finish a little bit more here shortly. However, I want to look at a couple of verses. We saw verse 13. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived they were uneducated men, they marveled and realized that they had been with Jesus. The first thing here in verse 13 is they see the boldness. There is a boldness to someone who has been with Jesus. If you are not feeling bold, then you need to spend more time with Jesus. It's a cause and effect thing. It is a cause and effect thing. And, you know, if you were feeling timid, the issue is not timidity. The issue is relationship. The issue is Jesus. He's the answer to every question in life. He's the answer in the back of the book. And we've read the back of the book, and we win. I can remember taking algebra and trigonometry and calculus and analytic geometry, and you get to some of those questions, and they always had the odd answers at the back of the book. I guess they figured mathematicians are odd. I don't know. And sometimes we get stumped, and we'd look at the back and get the answer so we could try to figure out what we're doing wrong. Oh, I see what I did wrong. And then you would recalculate the problem, and you get the answer they had. And so they didn't give you all of them, but sometimes it's good to have the answer in the back of the book. Well, the answer to boldness is Jesus. The answer to boldness is spending time with Jesus. They realized they had been with Jesus. And now let's just look at verse 16. They say, what should we do to these men? For indeed that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. You know, we say, well, you know, I'd witness, but, you know, the world just doesn't want to hear it. You're right. So there's two elements here. There is the boldness, and then there is the miracle. And when you mix the two together, you have boldness of preaching, and you have a miracle that happens. You're about to have a revival right there. Because that convinces people, that validates the message. Amen? It validates it. You know, right now, our problem is we don't have any validation, so people don't want to hear us. What we need to see is a move of the Holy Ghost with signs and wonders to validate the message, and then the message will be heard and people will get saved. It's what's missing from the world. I know I've probably told you this before, but when T.L. and Daisy Osborne went on their first missionary trip and failed horribly, even though God had called them to be missionaries, they went back with their tail between their legs, so to speak, in confusion. And Jesus appeared to T.L. Osborne and said to him, you're not fit to preach it unless you can demonstrate it. And he gave him a tremendous healing ministry. And they went back ready to demonstrate the message through signs and wonders. And they begin to lay hands on people. Now, we don't heal anybody. We couldn't heal a flea if it had a headache. We do what God told us to do. He said, lay hands on the sick and pray and they will recover. Amen. And so we pray for people to be healed, to be saved, to be restored, to have their health restored. And when we pray in faith, nothing wavering, then God is obligated to honor the prayer and the preaching. The Bible says these signs follow them that believe. The signs do not precede us. I think sometimes we want to sit on the sideline and let God perform a miracle and then we'll jump up and preach. But it doesn't happen in that order. They follow, the signs follow them that believe. You have to have the boldness of being with Jesus. You have to speak the word with boldness. You have to lay hands on people with faith and boldness and pray. And then the signs follow those that believe. And so our message is not Faith Fellowship Church. It's not praise and worship. It's not Pastor Roger preaches. It's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. That's our theme for the year, in case you didn't know that. The theme for 2019 is Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. We do not preach ourselves, we preach Jesus. Jesus saves, Jesus heals, Jesus baptizes in the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ is coming again. We preach Jesus. Amen. We lift up the name of Jesus. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me. Now, he was literally talking about being lifted up on the cross. So we do preach the cross. Jesus died for the sins of humanity. We preach Jesus. We must preach Jesus. Now, God does love people. And we could say God loves you to someone. But how do they know what God you're talking about? They may think you're talking about Muhammad or Buddha. You know what really irritates me? Hearing a Christian say karma. I corrected somebody just this last week. Karma is Buddha, Buddhism. We believe you reap what you sow. And some might say, well, you're just mincing words. It means the same thing. Now, we preach Jesus. Yes, God loves you, but he loves you so much he gave Jesus. You want to say God loves you, say God loves you so much that he gave Jesus. We preach Jesus. Paul said, I have purpose to know nothing save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Amen. It is a message so simple a child can understand it and so profound that scholars still debate it. It is the message of God's love. It is the message of the cross. We preach Jesus. Jesus is the gate. Jesus is the door. Jesus is the shepherd. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer. If someone says, you don't know what I'm going through, I don't know what you're going through, but I know what the answer is. The answer is still Jesus. The answer to a lost and dying world out here is still Jesus. And so we must preach Jesus, and we must proclaim him boldly. Now, the boldness comes in two parts. We saw from our text, they had spent time with Jesus. But remember, this is after Acts chapter 2. So you can go to church and you can meditate and you can hum and you can maybe even think about a verse, but you need the Holy Spirit in your life. This is after Acts 2. Prior to that time, Jesus said, just go up in the upper room and just sit there and wait. Because you ain't going to do nothing until you are endued with power from on high. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. So in order to preach and be bold, we need two things. We need the anointing of the Holy Spirit and time with Jesus. And really, I tell you, you can't really experience the time with Jesus that makes a difference without the anointing of the Holy Spirit in that time. Amen. You go to your prayer closet to talk to Jesus, and the anointing of the Holy Spirit enables you to say and to hear what you need to do. And you come out changed by the power of God. I would like to know someday when I get to heaven how many men and women went into their prayer closet weak and came out strong. And I tell you, if it's through the anointing of the Holy Spirit, I know the answer, it's all of them. It's all of them. And so we need the anointing of the Holy Spirit and we need time with Jesus. And then we are equipped to be bold and to pray and to see results. Years and years ago, when my hair was dark, and I worked in Muskogee, I've been there over 20 years now, I would get up early and stop at Del Rancho and drink coffee and read my Bible. It was my sacred hour. I'd get there right when they opened at 6 o'clock, and I would leave a little after 7. And I would just read my Bible and drink coffee with sugar in it. A lot of sugar. Sounds like a Clint Eastwood movie, doesn't it? There was a couple there who would come in every morning and have breakfast. I don't remember their names. I knew of it at the time. He worked in construction, and she was a school teacher for Sequoia School. And they would visit with me every once in a while. And I would try to be cordial, but I was sometimes a little short with the thing because I wanted to spend time with Jesus. I wasn't there to chit-chat. But I wasn't rude. And one day, and I tell you, it makes a difference when people know that you're not just pretending to be a Christian, that you really are. So they've seen my lifestyle. They know I was there to drink coffee and read my Bible. And one day they came in and they were a little distraught. They had a little dog, and their dog was deathly ill. The vet said, "There's nothing I can do," and they expected the dog to die at any day. And knowing that I was a Bible thumper, they asked me to pray for their dog. Now, I have to tell you, I did not pray a really long prayer. I knew if I didn't pray as soon as they were leaving and paying, I'd probably even forget to pray for their dog. I'm just being honest with you. So I prayed a little functorial name, "Lord, heal those people's dog in the name of Jesus, amen." And I never gave it another thought. I didn't see them for a few days. I don't remember if it was a Thursday or Friday, but anyway, it was probably 4 or 5 days. And they come in, "Whoa!" She's crying and he's grinning from ear to ear. "God, heal that dog." He healed it. I mean, the dog went from 1 3-paws in the grave to jumping and leaping and happy and whole by the power of God and the name of Jesus. Now, it's what I was saying. That's when you got a pulpit. And I said to him, it was by the power of Jesus that dog was made whole. Now, I'd like to say I led them in the sinner's prayer. They got saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, and became missionaries. I don't know what happened to them. But, you know, the Bible says some plant seeds and some water, but God gives the increase. It's not our job to save people. It's our job to preach under the anointing with boldness and signs following and let God do the rest. And so we need to preach, as Eddie said, the Word of God. We need to be bold. Now, we don't have to have a three-part sermon that lasts 22.5 minutes on a Sunday morning. We just need a word spoken in due season. Many sermons. A mini sermon can be a sentence. You know, when I was preparing my sermon, the word mantra came to me, and I almost made the same mistake I did with karma. I thought, wait a minute, I don't think that, sure enough, that's Buddha. No, we don't want a mantra. We want a mini sermon, right? Which brings me to Bill Wilson. Bill Wilson was a person who God used tremendously in inner city New York. And reached thousands for Jesus by having a fleet of buses picking up kids, and he would have gigantic. That's where I got the idea for these toys in here. I wish we had a active kids ministry, but you know, you have a bunch of big toys, and you say you could win this, and they tell all their friends you could win one of those $20 super soakers, man. Come on. And I mean, he had a fleet of buses, and he would bus in kids by the thousands, and their parents would get saved. And, you know, once the Holy Spirit starts working, it's like dominoes. You know what I'm saying? And there was a woman who got saved who was a Spanish-speaking woman who knew very little English, but she got saved through Bill Wilson's ministry, and she loved Jesus, and she wanted to do something, and so they put her on one of the buses and said, just love the kids. That's your job. Love them. Keep them from jumping out the window. Just love them. And there was a little boy who, at the time, they did not know it, but his mother was a drug addict and abusive. And the little boy would not speak to anyone. He would get on the bus with his head hanging down. He would go. He would ride the bus. He would listen to the sermon. He would go back home with his head hanging down, and this went on for weeks. And the little Spanish-speaking woman who had gotten saved, that loved Jesus and wanted to do something for Jesus, began to say to the little boy, Jesus loves you, and so do I. That's a sermon, in case you didn't know it. That's a mini sermon. Jesus loves you, and so do I. And every week when the little boy would get on the bus, this woman would lean down as close as she could get to his face, and he wouldn't look up, and she would say, Jesus loves you, and so do I. And finally, after weeks and weeks of this, she said it as the boy was going to leave the bus, Jesus loves you, and so do I. And he started walking away, and he turned around, and he went back, and he looked up at this woman, and he smiled, and he said, Jesus loves you, and so do I. The next week, the little boy did not get on the bus, and they began to look for him. They were concerned, and they found his body in a trash can that his drug-addicted mother had killed him. And one can only imagine what had happened when he possibly went home and preached his mini sermon to the demons in that woman. Jesus loves you, and so do I. We are living in a fallen world where hell plays for keeps, and we have the answer if we will but open our mouth and speak our mini sermons. Like Jesus loves you, and so do I. It's time, church, that we quit playing church and we begin to preach as Peter and John did with boldness the message of the cross. You can make up your own mini sermon. It can be whatever you choose. Jesus saves and his blood washes whiter than snow. Jesus saves, Jesus heals, Jesus baptizes in the Holy Spirit, Jesus is coming again, Jesus is coming soon, Jesus is coming soon. There's a four-word sermon you can preach. And you know what? You don't have to get them saved. It's the Holy Spirit's job to bring them to the cross. It's our job to speak the word. A silent church is a dead church. We don't preach faith fellowship. We preach what? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. That's what we preach. Some sow, some water. God gives the increase. It's our job to preach Jesus. Now you might say, well, I just feel uncomfortable saying things like that to people. I think everybody does at certain times. It might seem like you're in a crowd and, you know, it just feels awkward. And, of course, the devil loves to put peer pressure on us. Made me think of when I went to NCO Leadership School. I was in Abilene, Texas, and they sent me there for NCO Leadership School to Shreveport, Louisiana, Barksdale Air Force Base. They put us in base housing over by this bayou because when the family was in those base housing, the alligators were eating the kids, and I guess they figured us young NCOs were expendable. So they told us, you know, when you run, we had to be on an honor system and run so many miles a day. Just don't run too close to the water. That was their warning to us. But one of the things we had to do in NCO Leadership School, in the Air Force, they call them a flight. I think they're called a platoon in the Army. You know, a group of column and rows of men. And we had to learn how to march them. We had to learn how to give the commands to the left face, right face, to the rear arch, halt, open ranks, closed ranks. We had about 8 or 10 different commands we had to learn to do. And And I still remember to this day, the only command you give on the right foot is to rear arch, because you got to have that one extra half a step, and then you pivot. Like, I'll never need to know that again, but I've been drilled. I had this fear because I had seen the Gomer Pyle episode where he marched these guys into the water. And I had this fear that I was going to march these guys into the water. I didn't even know there was, I mean, you know, there's the alligator water, obviously. That would be bad if you marched them in the alligator water and you're responsible for the death of three men or something. But anyway, what they told us is they said, now, we want everybody to pass this, so we're going to tell you what you need to do in your free time is get four or five of you together. Doesn't have to be many. But go out on the pavement out there and just practice it. And then take turns. You know, one of you guys be the one calling the commands, the other one marching, and you do the open ranks, close ranks, left, right, you know, all this stuff. And so we did. And it's funny, there was actually a little pond there, too, which I still had that Gomer Pyle thing, you know. And so we practiced it, and each one of us practiced it over and over again. We spent about a half a day out there, and when the day came, you got these calling rows of men there, aced it. What I'm saying is, it doesn't hurt to practice it. Look at your neighbor and say, Jesus saves. Now look at somebody else and say, Jesus loves you and so do I. Now I'm putting you on the spot. Now look at someone and say your own little mini sermon, whatever you want. Come on, everybody. I want to see some participation. Putting you on the spot. Just look at somebody and say something, everybody. All right. We'll pray for you that didn't. All right. It's time, church, to be the Peters and Johns. Jesus is truly coming soon. We each have groups of people we can influence, family, friends, co-workers. You know, back in September 2015, when I was convinced the rapture was going to happen, one of the gals I work with, she plays a piano for her church. Her name is Courtney. She said, Roger, you had a lot of people scared back then. Hallelujah. I'm glad I had a lot of people. I think what she said is you had a lot of people thinking. That's what she said. You had a lot of people thinking. I'm getting ready to make them start thinking again. We are coming up to the end of the age. And for those that we have an opportunity to warn and don't, God will hold us accountable. The Bible says their blood will be on our hands. Amen. So we need to find our mini sermons. And we need to practice saying it daily. Every day, even if you have to look in the mirror and say it. Every day, practice your mini sermon. Whatever your mini sermon of the week is going to be. I would switch it up every week or every 2 weeks. But say it over and over till it's in your heart so much that it just comes out. When I was when my kids were young and I would make them do the dishes, I would tell them, wring the sponge out when you're done. And I would go in there and I would start to pick up the sponge and it was super saturated. I mean, you could just barely touch it and you'd see water trickling down the edge into the sink. Because they would never wring the sponge out when they were done. That sponge was super saturated with soapy water. And it would get to me. It would irritate. How many times do I have to tell you to wring the sponge out when you're done with the dishes? God wants you to be so super saturated with your mini sermon that when someone just barely touches you, it comes out. Amen. I remember not long after I was saved, I was in an English comp class in junior college in Nebraska, and they passed out assignments for us to interview other college professors there. And when he handed me the one that I was going to do, he said, this guy's got a doctorate in theology. And I said, praise the Lord, because I was super saturated with praise. And the whole class laughed. They thought I was making fun. And I was a little embarrassed. I was a little hurt because I wasn't making fun. Praise the Lord came out because I was super saturated with praise the Lord. I wasn't thinking about what people would say or what people would think. He said that, and it just came out. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So super saturate yourself with your mini sermon. Look in the mirror and say it 10, 20 times in the morning. Be ready so that when you are just touched in the course of your daily life, the sermon comes out and the boldness that accompanies it, and see what God can do. Make it a part of you so it's so natural it just comes out. And you say to the store clerk or the waitress, Jesus loves you and so do I. God's got a plan for your life and it involves the cross of Jesus Christ. Make sure Jesus is in there somewhere. We don't want him to confuse God with Muhammad or Buddha. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, I want to just go ahead and read a little bit more from our text before we pray. So let's just go on back to, we left off at about verse 17. But so that it spread no further among the people, let us severely threaten them that from now on they speak to no man in this name. So they called them and commanded them that they not speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So then they had further threatened them. They let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. For the man was over 40 years old, of whom the miracle of healing had been performed. And being let go, they went to their own companies and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God, who made heaven and the earth and the sea and all that's in them, who by the mouth of your servant David said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. Now, before I go on, let me just say here, some people might say, Lord, look what they're doing, so grant that we don't get hurt. That's not what they said, was it? They're threatening us, so Lord, grant that we all with boldness may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. That is a picture of what the church is supposed to look like. And when they prayed, the place was shaken. Amen. Hallelujah. I'd like to do something. It would be nice to have Nola on the guitar, but I want her a part of it. Let's all gather together here at the front and let's pray together. I mean, I don't want to read about it. I want to do it. Amen. I don't want to be a church player. I want to be a practicer. I want to be a church prayer. Amen. So let's just all gather in here. Let's lay hands on each other. You can put your hand on the shoulder. You can grab someone's hand. Let's be a part of this. And let's just pray and ask God. Grab my elbow or something there, Rick, and just come on in, guys. And let's pray and let's ask God for boldness. Steve, you too. Oh, he's already here. How did I miss you? You're right there. Let's, were you looking to see if Steve was back there? All right, come on in, and let's everybody grab a shoulder or a hand or something, and let's just pray. Father, we just come to you, Lord, as the body of believers of Faith Fellowship Church. And Lord, we can't expect other people to do what you've called us to do, Lord. It's our turn. It's our time. And we're not interested in seeing the church grow. We're interested in seeing the kingdom grow. And so, God, we just pray right now, in and by and through the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, that you would begin to pour out your anointing on us so that we could be bold in these last days and that we could speak your word. Lord, give us our mini sermon that we're going to speak this week, Lord, each one of us individually, and help us to do more than just think about it. Lord, help us in every opportunity to now begin to preach your word to a lost and dying world. Help us, Lord, to spend time with you this week so that we can have that boldness, that they would recognize that we're different than we were last week. We've been spending time with Jesus, and we're bold, and we're strong, and there's an anointing behind our mini-sermon, and there's miracles happening following our mini-sermon. And so, Lord, we purpose by the grace of God and through your help and through your anointing that we're going to do more than we did last week, that we know that the time is short, Lord, and we want the book of Acts to come alive in our lives, regardless of what anybody else is saying or doing. Lord, it is us. It is our time. It is our individual calling. It is our individual purpose, Lord, to be used by you in this last day harvest. So anoint us, Lord, by the power of God, and let us be used by you to speak your word with signs and wonders following, in Jesus' name. Now let's all just lift our voice and begin to worship God. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you, Jesus. We lift our voice to you as they did in the book of Acts. You can shake this place or you can shake us, Lord. But we praise you for the power of God that's going to be operating in our lives in and through the anointing of the Holy Spirit by and through the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. We worship you today. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord, amen. All right. Break. Thank you guys for coming. God bless you. Give someone a hug before you go.